There are some popular sayings that people think come from the Bible, you know, like, for instance, charity begins at home, or God helps those who help themselves. Many individuals think that those are biblical, but they are not. There are other sayings that individuals don't realize come from the Bible, and we're going to be looking at one of those today. The phrase, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," is not only biblical, it was a statement of Christ. One of the things that make it an interesting saying of Jesus is that it is not found in the Gospels. When a person typically wants to find something Jesus did or said, you would look into Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of these kind of spiritual biographies of Jesus, the Gospels. But this particular saying of Jesus is recounted for us by Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts. So let's take a look at it. It's in Acts 20, verse 32 and following. Paul, by the way, I just want to give you a little bit of a lead into this. Paul is talking to the Christian churches, and he is telling them that he has worked very hard in order to serve the Lord, that he has not depended on them in order to benefit himself, but he has been working to serve Christ. And then he quotes this message from Jesus. "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" There's the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you would have one of these red letter Bibles in the Gospels, you would see all of this red because of all Jesus said, you know. If you would look to the book of Revelation, you would see the words of Christ everywhere as the resurrected Lord who is coming back and giving his message to the church. But this little line of red stands out in a sea of black letters. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Whenever I discuss the topic of giving to God, I'm reminded about the polar opposite of giving is taking. And our world is very convinced that it is much more advantageous to be a taker than a giver. However, there's a couple of illustrations over the years that have reminded me that being a taker is kind of dangerous to us spiritually. It can be a real problem for our spiritual development. One of the most striking examples of the worldly mindset of materialism and people being greedy was illustrated by a billboard that I saw while I was driving one day. And this billboard featured a very fine two-seater sports car. And above the sports car on the billboard, the message read, "What the meek won't inherit." Now, that was another biblical quote, a biblical phrase, and it was a reference back to the Sermon on the Mount, where among other blessings, Jesus talks about, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And so a person's supposed to follow Jesus' lead and be a meek individual, and there will be blessings that follow. Well, this billboard was suggesting just the opposite. You don't want to be meek. You want to be aggressive. You want to be someone who's going to push and is going to claw their way to success. And when you get there and you have the means, you're going to reward yourself. Well, that's all the opposite of meekness. In fact, meekness is kind of interesting because just as the billboard showed, the world despises meekness. I like to say that the world treats meekness like weakness, but that's not the case. A person who is meek in many respects needs to be very strong. Because what you're doing as a meek individual, you are putting others ahead of you. You are not having to be in the spotlight. You don't have to have everything coming your way. Instead, you're looking out for the benefit of other individuals. And you don't mind being in the background. You don't always have to win the argument. You don't have to be popular. Meekness is being content with who God made you and thinking about the welfare of other individuals instead of putting yourself forward. That takes strong character and good, solid personality and spiritual traits. And of course, the world does not value this. The other illustration that I think of whenever the topic of giving to God comes is of the Dead Sea. And this is a very, very natural illustration, and it comes from the land where Christ walked and talked. In Israel, you have the Sea of Galilee, which is a fresh body of water, and it empties out on the south end by the Jordan River. The Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee southward until it reaches what we know as the Dead Sea. It flows downhill toward the Dead Sea and collects there. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. So therefore, the Dead Sea never drains. The fresh water that collects in it never leaves to go anywhere because it's the lowest spot. It does, however, receive the hot sunlight in the summer, which evaporates the water. Even though it's fresh water or living water, as the scriptures would call it, even though it's life-giving water that is dumped into the Dead Sea, because it cannot give, because it cannot go anywhere and drain, all of the chemicals, the minerals that are in the fresh water stay trapped in that basin of the Dead Sea, and as the water evaporates, the chemical content, the concentration increases over time. Therefore, the Dead Sea, even though fed by living, life-giving waters, is poisonous. It is dead to plant and animal life because it cannot give. I think that's a good illustration of the fact that spiritually, if we all see things coming one direction, if we make our goal and purpose in life to be receivers and we think very little about seriously giving, we're going to become spiritually poisoned and dead over time. Now, with Jesus' specific phrase here, that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and it's an interesting comment. Obviously, there are blessings involved in receiving, right? If someone has given us a great gift in order to, let's say, help us get our first home, or maybe help us get out of debt, possibly someone has given us a gift of accommodation. Maybe they put us up for a while and helped us get back on our feet. Other individuals might have helped us or our grandchildren accomplish an educational goal. Whatever these gifts are, wonderful blessings. But it is a mistake to think that our primary spiritual blessings are the material or financial ones. You know, it's very popular in America today, especially among evangelical Christians, to teach a form of prosperity gospel. I don't know if you've heard that phrase, prosperity gospel, or a kind of wellness or blessedness, full blessedness. There's all kinds of different phrases that are used to describe this. The upshot of it is that as God's children, the idea that's taught is that as God's children, the Lord not only wants us to have spiritual knowledge of Jesus and to be benefited with this and to have eternal life to look forward to, but that he also wants us to be blessed in every respect, including materially. And that one of the great signs of knowing that God loves you is by looking and seeing an abundance, an overly abundant benefit of material things and money and income. And at times they kind of lead you to think that this is a really good indicator of whether you're having the favor of God by how much stuff he's dumping on you and how much income or how much extra you have. They often will allude to individuals in the Old Testament, patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had numerous herds and a great deal of wealth. And they'll try to suggest that Christianity should work much the same, that if we're in God's favor, we should have an overabundance, prosperity. There's only one problem with this. That as we look around at the world, there's many wicked and corrupt and evil people that have an awful lot of abundance and prosperity too. And they're not serving the Lord. They don't have a heart for Christ. These individuals might even be anti-Christian and antagonistic. It certainly cannot be said that God is pleased in just dumping his goodness on them. So how do you deal with that? The answer is that money and material things and prosperity is not an accurate indicator, not an infallible indicator of God's blessings. It's sort of more of a peripheral indicator of God's blessings. What is an accurate indicator of God's blessings? Spiritual closeness to God and growth in a mindset more like Jesus Christ. What is a good indicator of God's blessings? Just like Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Just having a whole bunch of stuff and money doesn't mean that you're going to be close to God. Having a heart and a mind that is geared to act as God does, which is kind and generous and forgiving and loving, that gets us closer to the heart and mind of God. With that in mind, let's take a look at an interesting passage, Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, page 1601. There's certain passages in the scriptures that are challenging because they kind of, well, more than just kind of, they actually tell us we're going to be judged on our behavior. We're going to be assessed as to how well we're performing. And God is going to give us or treat us in the same fashion as we are treating others. Luke 6 is one of those kind of passages. Take a look at verse 37 and following. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, a lot of people think that this is sort of like a principle of general reciprocity, you know, that if you're kind and considerate to other people, they're more likely to be that way toward you. And if you're going to be generous and if you're forgiving to other people, you're more likely to be forgiven yourself. In fact, haven't you ever heard someone throw this into your face? The phrase, do not judge and you will not be judged. They're trying to suggest that the primary thrust of these verses is how we are supposed to treat one another. And you're likely to get the same in return. That's not what really these verses are about. These verses are about the call for us as people of God to show God's mercy, God's kindness, God's forgiveness to others, and He will treat us in kind. So follow through with this. Do not judge, and you will not be judged by whom? Other people? No, God. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. By who? Others? No, you might be condemned by somebody that doesn't like you. That's not what counts ultimately. It's whether God condemns you or not. The whole principle or point about this is that it is a call for us to show the mindset and attitude of God toward people, and He will look upon us and see this. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? It gets down to some pretty heavy spiritual development God is looking for from us. Especially when it says in verse 38, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You see, God is looking for spiritual growth and maturity in us. He's not just satisfied that we just are people who say that He exists just to give us what we want and to help us have a happy life and things like this. God is looking for some serious mental maturity and spiritual growth taking place. And that's like Paul when he says, we've worked hard to try to emulate this principle of Jesus that it's better to give than to receive. So I come to you and I say, next week when we have our offering, a passage like this calls us to assess and to say, do you believe what Jesus says when He says it's better to give than to receive? And are you going to be able to push yourself to develop as a person more? Are you going to increase your commitment and your giving to God? That's really what the thrust of that phrase says. You're going to develop more spiritual blessings in your life, not by getting more to hold on to, but by giving more. That's what Jesus is promising here. He's saying it's like a spiritual principle. So let's recount. Okay, what are the spiritual blessings that you should get? If it's more blessed to give than to receive, what would you anticipate the spiritual blessings for you will be? The first one would be your purpose, that you're actually doing the work that Christ wants you to do. Jesus wants us to bring the gospel to all people. He wants us to share the love of God the Father. He wants us to have purpose and goals so that the kingdom of Christ is expanded, so that it grows globally, so that we're engaged in doing the work of the harvest. You remember? Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends workers into the harvest field. The harvest is white. It's ready to be reaped. Okay, we're supposed to be working, laboring in the harvest. We're supposed to be doing God's work, right? All right, when you give to the Lord, you're showing that you want to be part of that. You're indicating that you're not like that one son of the father who says, yeah, you know, I'll go work for you today. And then he sits on his butt and does nothing. right? You're going to get up and you're going to do. So it makes you feel good that you're not playing some kind of game with God, like, yeah, I'm faithful, I'm really committed, but I'm not really going to put my money where my mouth is. Some people play that game. But they also have to live with the guilt of it. Because they know they're playing the game. The committed Christian who's working with their budget and working with their offerings and pushing themselves to give to God knows they're not playing any games with God. They're really trying to work for the Lord. And it makes you feel good that you're in the work of the kingdom. Another thing that is a spiritual blessing when it comes to giving is that you know you're not practicing idolatry. It is so easy to make money and material things our idol. Things can creep into our life like clothing or cars or houses, vacations, whatever it is. And we can find ourselves suddenly so enraptured and so excited about these things. It's fun. God made us to be tactile and we have pleasant experiences and it's all good. Until it becomes our purpose for living. Until the stuff becomes more important than the Lord. And if we find we are living to get our stuff, or if we find that we can't let go of our stuff for God, then what's happened? Then we're idolaters. Then the stuff has become more important than God. And I assure you that an individual who gives lousy to God has idolized money. Do you want to do that? I don't want to stand before God in judgment and have him say, you considered your money more important than me. I want to try to gain some assurance that I am not living for stuff. That I am not having as my highest priority how big of a house I had or what fancy of a car I drove. All things that are destined to perish. I want to try to prove in my heart and mind that God is most important to me and not money, not things. It's a test of who's number one. What's most important? And when you commit yourself to giving to God, not only to support his work, but also to make a statement, I don't want any other idols. I want one true God, and it's Christ. And the last big spiritual reason why to give is it makes you feel good. There is a really wonderful feeling that comes from giving that you cannot get from taking. To be able to strengthen, to support, to extend a ministry, to know that you're helping someone else, to know that someone will be in heaven someday because of what you did. Things like that makes you feel good. And you can't get that from being a receiver, only from being a giver. And I think that's where Jesus wants us to understand. If we can pattern ourselves and model ourselves after him, look at Jesus. Look at his spiritual strength and his joy relative to what he had materially. A guy came to Jesus once, and he said, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He wandered around from town to town. People would put him up in their homes. They would feed him a meal. Jesus lived this principle to the maximum. He understood that a man's life does not consist with the abundance of his possessions. So he didn't own much at all. Because his purpose and his goal in being here as a human was not to receive. It was to give. And Jesus was filled with the joy and the contentment of God the Father. Fullness of the Spirit of God. Because his whole purpose was to embody this principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And look at how far he takes this. He takes this to giving his very existence, his life. It is very profound. And if we understand this and can incorporate this into our thinking, we're going to realize that what God wants in the end, if we push ourselves to develop in our offerings and giving to God and to grow ourselves, what's really happening is we are slowly becoming molded more and more, conformed more and more to the nature of Jesus. Where we realize this life is not about what I get. This life is about what I can give for God. Amen.